Blog Talk Radio.
And it is 6 p.m. on the East Coast. This is the Sunday show. I'm here, Be Monsters, with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and Gwen Berry. And we're going to just talk about the week and the news that's come across the wire. And, okay, I got that good. And, and we will take calls. So, Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. A little soggy today. We're getting rained on up here in Minneapolis. I think they postponed the ball game today, but it had to because it was raining constantly since this morning. So
and
we'll take that over snow.
Wayne, I know you're our traveling correspondent. You're between planes, are you?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to catch my flight back to Columbus, Ohio. I'm in the Glen Burnie area of Baltimore-Washington International Airport right now as we speak.
Okay, so we're all over the place, aren't we? As my mother would
yes,
say.
Yes, we are.
We're like
covering the news of the whole United States right now.
My mother used to say, "You're like horse shit. You're all over the road."
I can be identified with that quite often sometimes.
Nothing like a golden oldie to get you going for the day.
That's a good one, and we'll be sure talking about a lot of horse shit today. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, and what else is new on the is it Cliven or Cliven Bundy? This joker who's obviously accepted as a farmer subsidization from the government in many ways. We all know about how farmers can do that. Is basically been grazing on federal land and paying a little upkeep to keep his grazing going, and thinks he owns it. And everybody's coming out to say, first of all, anybody who says they don't support the government of the United States, like this guy does, and then tries to use the Constitution as his excuse for why he's correct in his stance.
Yeah, he's misusing it.
He's a poser. It's what he is. He's a user.
Big time.
Absolutely.
Well, he's a rip-off artist too. He's getting a big subsidy for the size of his crop, so he's double dipping. He's ripping off the government by letting his crop graze on federal land, and he's supposed to pay fines on that, and he never does, or pay a usage tax. I forget how it goes, but at any rate, he refuses to do so. And at the same time,
he owes over $1 million.
Government.
Yeah, I said he owes over $1 million. And the thing is, when this first started, the right-wing blowhard media presented it. It was all because of all of the turtle, right? Gee, you know, we're going to let this guy go down because of a simple turtle. Well, actually, it's a tortoise, a desert tortoise. They're very rare. They want to keep the ecosystem for it because in the whole system of everything, we're all connected in a way. Like I said, I'm trying to think of the guy's first name. Anyway, Leopold was a professor from the University of Wisconsin and wrote a book called The Sands of the Almanac. And basically, he was the foundation for the environmental movement of realizing everything is interconnected. And he says, anybody who says, gee, what's the use of that plant or what's the use of that animal? He says, they are idiots because they do not understand how one thing affects the other.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
this is what we're dealing
with. This guy's supposedly a farmer, a rancher, and he should know better, and he doesn't, apparently. So.
Right.
Well,
and then when he came out with his Negro statement, and then everybody's trying to bail on him. It's like, no, you were supporting this guy the whole time. You know exactly what he was about. Mm-hmm. You were supporting him and cheering him on. And then when he actually, this is what's great about the freedom of speech in our Constitution is, it really has does a good job of exposing stupid. So not only him, but all the blowhard radios like Sean Hannity and stuff who were supporting him the whole time.
Yeah. The baboons at Fox News have been having a field day with this story, and they've been blowing that all out of proportion like to do with everything else. They're typical,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Sorry, Glenn, go ahead, please.
Well, you have to step back, though. 50,000 members of the Oklahoma militia are ready to stand against the federal government with Bundy. It's 50,000 members? You mean there's 50,000 people in Oklahoma?
Glenn, I have the perfect quote for that, and I'll tell you who said it. It was a conservative man himself. He says, if everybody, all these conservatives, these two party members, are thinking alike, as they are in Fox News, then somebody's not really thinking. That quote came from George S. Patton.
Yep, good quote.
All of that aside, I mean, this guy's taken it down the road a piece. Now people are stepping away from
him. Oh, yeah, they're trying to drop him like a hot potato. And I'm standing on the side like, no. You were cheering him on. You were supporting him. You were enabling him. You were giving him the viewpoint of everybody, his 15 minutes of fame, and now you're just as dirty as he is. You know, there's the old saying, if you hang around crap, you start smelling like it. And
there you go.
And,
you know, this militia, this 50,000-strong militia, who cares? These people, all they're doing is they're spoiling for a fight. They hate the government. They're anti-government of any sort. They're anarchists in a bad sense of the word, and they are just not. They're not good people. They're crazies is what they are. They're just this side of crazy, and They really, these people ought to be in jail.
Exactly.
They're
right.
A detriment
exactly.
to society. Not they're not a credit.
No. Well, it just goes to show, stupid has no limitations.
You don't hold back from it either. It's crazy. It's very crazy.
I'm going to prepare today, aren't I?
I would really love to share from the journey with Roundtree Second Room a piece that was posted by David Williams. And I want to quote. I want to quote him. This really deserves a listen to. The post that he made was from popularresistance.org, something we support, I think, fully all of us here on the Sunday show. That would be Dr. Margaret Flowers and Dennis Traynor Jr. and all those good people over there. There was a posting this week, and its title was Understand Israeli-Palestinian Apartheid in 11 Images. And there really is an apartheid going on over there of Israel against Palestine. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
And the quote that I'd like to make that David said was, apartheid, the U.S. was on the wrong side during South Africa. The U.S. on the wrong side today. Funny how Obama praised Mandela in a speech without mentioning once that the U.S. were the ones who coordinated his arrest in 1962 and still had him on the U.S. terrorism watch list in 2008, 10 years after his winning the Nobel Peace Prize. What will be perception in the future for the U.S. actions of today concerning the Palestinian apartheid? And I think that question really, that whole quote is something that people should really sit down and resonate with because...
Oh, yeah, and that was a typically insightful piece by David. He's remarkable in what he sees and what he can grasp that seems to go over the heads of so many others. No, he's right on the money there. That's a very good observation. And, you know, We've discussed this in the past when these guys in Israel that are they're basically they should know better because they were victims of this same type of persecution from Nazi Germany, and that's why so many of them flocked there to the Palestine region, and they're turning around and they're doing not exactly as bad, but many of the characteristics that were so prevalent during the Nazi regime are being practiced by the Israelis today, and they just can't see the difference because it's them,
you know,
it's okay, you know.
Jack, one of my prouder moments in life was I was a regional sales manager for a company of dealing in surge protection for equipment that was home-based out of South Africa. And the human resource manager was a black African, and they brought him to the United States to make him a little more worldly because the company I was working with was a world-based company, and they assigned me to him, they assigned him to me as I was traveling in my region and to kind of observe me. And so I went down to Florida, and I was training the rep firm I had down there. And after we were done that night, we went out to dinner together, and I got the chance to tell him, you know, here is a white man to this black African, and he's not used to this kind of aspects, that I told him, I said, Nelson Mandela is as much a hero now in this country as Martin Luther King. And I'm very proud to make that statement to you. And you can see the look on his face, like, the words coming out of this white man's face, you know, I'm baffled by it, right? He was impressed, baffled, and stunned, basically.
Yeah.
But after that, we were very good friends after that, and we always had a good relationship after that because he knew now where I was coming from as an American.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the point is that right now we're on the wrong side of history, and almost every foreign and domestic policy that this country has, almost every one of them is on the wrong
side. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's incredible. It's really just overwhelming to sit down and think, you know, Jesus, at one point I really thought my vote counted. You know, I think maybe it did because Jimmy Carter did get elected, but damn.
That was a different world back then.
Of course, as soon as Reagan was elected, he dismantled all the policies of energy independence via solar, geothermal, and everything like that that he could, making sure that the hydrocarbon industry kept their hands in the till.
Yeah.
Well,
this country made a definite and a dreadful shift to the right, far right, with the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980, and things were not the same anymore. The Democrats got cowed. They were no longer the liberal, progressive party they once were. They changed immensely. A lot of them became more corporatist under Bill Clinton's new Democratic vision. And you know, we have not – all this talk about, the left media or the liberal media, no, that's long gone, my friends. And I'll tell you what. We've gone from a very progressive country in many ways to a very regressive country ever since Ronald Reagan's election.
But I guess that's the point, isn't it? But one of the ways that I'll keep saying this over and over again. One of the ways that I think we can take back a lot of our power back to the population and to the people is in how we spend our money. With information, with the light of knowing what is where we're spending our money and where we spend our money, what those companies are doing with the money we give to them for the goods they provide and how they get there. Efficacy and integrity has to be down in the, you know, in.
Oops. You still there? Hello? Yeah, I was going to say, did we lose Gwen?
I think we did somehow. I don't know how or why. Maybe atmospheric conditions. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I was going to say, it's not just you. It's me, too. So, and the skies are perfect and beautiful here. So.
Yeah, so we're probably going solo here for the next few minutes until she can come back on.
I don't know if she's on the air or are we, but we can keep going.
I don't know either. I'm
just
keep on going.
excuse me, can you hear me?
He's back.
There we go, Gwen. Welcome back.
Okay.
Wayne.
Second.
Wayne, can you mute your microphone when they begin to talk over the loudspeaker like that? It's blaring through here.
Yeah,
okay.
It's coming through. Yeah.
All right, all right. I'll tell you.
And,
right,
and
I'll try to.
Yeah, we hear you better than them, but they get pretty loud.
If I cover it up like this, can you hear it?
Nah, yeah, you can hear it. Now I can't.
All right, I'm going
to try
to switch off.
Trying to broadcast from an airport.
Yeah, yeah. How about this now? Is that better?
I have to apologize. Blog Talk Radio has been a bit of chaos is right, David. it's Blog Talk Radio has been cutting me off and other producers. The producer has the studio board. And our boards have been cut off. We have to reconnect with them. But frankly, if I didn't have Skype to connect with, I think that the whole radio show would just probably go on. Solar flares and magnetic storms are really an excellent. That's what I think put me in the hospital last week. So,
so was I.
There's something going around that we call ascension symptoms, but it's not funny. A lot of people have been woozy and dizzy and going through things like that, and I think the magnetic flares, the solar flares and the magnetic fluctuations of the planet really have been affecting people seriously.
Huh?
I mean. I had enough of a scare to go on in and get myself checked out. And if you know me, you know that happens once every, eighth blue moon. So,
Well, we're glad you checked out okay, Gwen.
The show must go on. I did. It was funny. It was scary. It was funny. But getting back to the subject at hand. The apartheid that Israel is laying over Palestine, it's really horrible. And the fact that we are on foreign policy and domestic policy, we have become it's not America itself, although I got to say, when you think 50,000 Oklahomans, are ready to stand up with Mr. Bundy.
They're wackle.
There is some problems in the electric. Or the electric.
Oh, yeah. Well, Gwen, it is. You're talking like this is a sudden development with the United States being involved with crazy foreign endeavors. I'll tell you what, we've been involved in other people's business for way too long, and quite frankly, during all of our lifetimes. It's just been unbelievable. We've sided with numerous dictators simply because they pledged allegiance to the United States, and they would be anti-communist. No matter how repressive they were at home, they were okay with us.
Jack, I don't think it was just anti-communism. I think it was really that they agreed to allow us to plunder some of their natural resources for some reason.
Oh, yeah,
you
bet they did. Yep, that's right.
Right. It's all about the money.
And David is talking in the chat room, and he says that our foreign policy is driven by power alone, not our moral direction, and this has been the official mode of operation since 1946. And, the fella, he does a lot of, it's his fascination to study the intelligence communities of the planet and basically, whose mic has got an overfeed?
Sounds like the airport's bleeding through again.
Damn it. It's coming over my speaker then, even in that.
Don't you have a mute button?
No, I do. No, I don't think so. I might. Hold on. Let me look at it.
But the standby, please. But like I was saying before, I got cut off by the solar flares and magnetic fluctuations of the planet. Presently, the condition, I didn't do that as well as I could have. But the thing I was trying to say is that if we begin to take the initiative to understand how we spend our money and the responsibility with us and with it, we can take back some of our power, because if we're not supporting financially all of these corporations that are actually holding our leadership hostage, but really they're holding our rights hostage. They're holding our lives.
They're holding everything in our country hostage. Our rights, our everything about our way of life is being turned topsy-turvy by greedy corporate interests, and it's really getting threatening to all of us.
The Koch brothers are a perfect example of that, how they,
yes, they are.
Use their billions and billions of dollars to buy the publicity that financially helps them out more than any common man or even the Tea Party people who are supposedly being supported by them. They are lemmings being led to the sea.
Yeah, they'll literally lead people over the cliff just so they make a profit. This has got to stop.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, this has been called real politics by Kissinger.
Oh, he was a crook, too.
And the policy justifies killing thousands with one hand while declaring another nation is immoral. And that's just, I don't want to be connected.
That's the pot calling the kettle black, is the way I understand it.
Well, I don't want to be connected with anything like that.
I agree. Well, Kissinger, he's been on my shit list for years.
He lied
us all throughout Vietnam, he and Nixon both. They were both despicable. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize with Lee Duc Tho. That was a disgrace. At least Lee Duc Tho had the integrity to refuse the award. But no, Kissinger took it, of course.
Well, it added some hefty fees to his lucrative career after, you know, the White House years.
Yeah, there you go, self-centered Kissinger.
Well, and so many, this is a standard. The American standard of leadership is greed.
Oh, it is, you bet. As long as I got mine, to hell with you and don't bother me about it.
Well, it's greed, it's duplicity, it's the one side of the face says one thing. I mean, this is a real Janus. And
yeah.
And most of America, I'm afraid to say, most of America is having to peddle really hard to catch up with what the truth actually is. But
and we're losing ground.
Well, people are actually beginning to understand that what they're hearing on their national networks is not really
the shit. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, in the 30s there was fascism, and in the 60s there was open rebellion, and we've come to another place now where it's ripe for the picking. For the people to rise up and say, you know, fuck you, we're not going to take this anymore.
The problem is most of the wrong kind of people are doing that. Look at your Oklahoma militiamen. And a salute to David Williams. He's right in the thick of it. He's right in Oklahoma, but he is a very insightful man and completely sees the real picture, and he portrays it in everything he writes. So hats off to David.
Well, he's saying right now, but it's not just Kissinger. He developed and refined the policy, but it's the official State Department operation since then.
Good point.
Determines decision. Hillary followed it, and Kerry is following it. Now, these are two people who on first...
Should know better.
Yeah. On first outlook, where, you know, I mean, shit, Kerry walked in into, you know, Congress and said the war was wrong.
Right.
Hillary wanted everybody as an a human right to have health insurance.
Right.
And both of them have gone to the dark side. I mean, Mrs.
Exactly. And that's very, very frightening and very disgusting, really. And, you know, hats off to David again, because I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I can't remember exactly when, but he made a very beautiful, very factual post outlining specifically all kinds of times that the United States has erred in its foreign policy by supporting the wrong cause or the wrong people or the wrong dictator. He pointed how absolutely ridiculous our foreign policy has been, and I can't remember all the specifics of his piece, but he was right on the money. I remember that much, and he saw it clearly then, and it's as bad today as it was then, even worse.
Well, I see that we're going to have to, you know, people of the right mind, those of the progressive mind thought, need to gather together, work within the system, take over the Democratic Party, and move things forward, much like the inverse of what the Tea Party has done to my Republican Party.
Yeah, we can't get corrupted by greedy corporate interests.
Exactly right. And like I said, it has to be a groundswell movement, people getting involved, people working within and without the system, and pushing forward what is truly phenomenal.
Wayne, the Tea Party was only able to accomplish its task because of guys like the Koch brothers putting them
and
in.
And Richard Army and people like that, right?
Yeah, I don't see
true
that
statement.
Happening.
I agree.
Enlightened minds with the Democratic Party. It's equally anchored in corporate greed.
Right.
Even the independents, the stronger independents, are owned by corporate greed. Even in the Green Party, you can see it in some states where there's the real change has to come from the ground up. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
There was another.
The hell of it is, it does take financing to get something like that off the ground, and there aren't enough progressive financiers out there to do the job, at least not yet. We need more and more and more of this, but we've just got to work extra hard to make sure that the real thing happens the way we want it to, rather than being corporately influenced again and just, you know, being marginalized because of that.
Well, I know that Congressman Wayne Gilchrist, who I worked on a lot of programs with, of course, the Tea Party rallied around the Koch brothers, financed Andy Harris, and finally defeated him, but he
mm-hmm.
refused to take any special interest money. He voted. He was an environmental Republican, which is an oxymoron. And, yeah, it can be done, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, I saw it done with him, and I'll tell you, I'm going to have to mute it again because the speakers are coming over too loud. So go ahead with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the environmentalist Republican is a thing of the past as we speak today. Let's remember, Theodore Roosevelt, he was a progressive and a Republican at the turn of the last century, and he championed big time. He created a lot of national parks. He created a lot of wildlife reserves. He created a lot of protection for the environment. And now Republicans, they don't want to have anything to do with him. He's a bad guy. He wasn't a real Republican. You know, that's their attitude.
Jack,
and we've got to restore the American mindset to being environmentally friendly and not being as greedy and obsessed with profits as they become.
Well, I'm going to read something that David's been typing here. He says that knowledge through, and the proof is in the moment here, the actualization. Knowledge mm-hmm. through social media creates this turmoil within the system. The U.S. used to be immune to what is known as blowback, the public mm-hmm. repulsion of their actions, because most of the time it was never known. Today mm-hmm. you have information that conflicts with the official line. This
right.
creates a social anxiety and rebellion. that energy needs to be tapped and directed for good, and it can be done. We can be the country that we thought we were, and I agree with David. I think the other side of that coin, if you give it as the currency of the people, the other side of that coin is knowing how to spend our money. I'm going to say that over and over again because as long as we're walking through the doors at Walmart to spend our money because it's cheaper and not taking it seriously enough, we're going to keep these bastards in power.
They are powerful, and they do have the power right now.
But it's only because of money and the lack of knowing from the community. The community has been ignorant, has always been ignorant, as David pointed out. And now the community has the opportunity through this wonderful gift of planetary consciousness, which is the internet. That's the manifestation of a planetary mind. Is this internet? And the cat's out of the bag. They would like to put it back up, but there is a dark net, several of them, below the net we see. I mean, you look at Anonymous, and there was another post about Anonymous this week the leaks that were FBI directed, some of the Anonymous hacks. Incredibly, there was an expose on how that happened and how Anonymous, which I still believe in as a group and force to be reckoned with as far as bringing information to the public, but how even they have been utilized by this incredible network of NSA and FBI and it's incredible how much right now we stand toe to toe and nose to nose with the actual powers that be. Because of the internet and because we have the look how much, Jack, you don't even plug into half the stuff we're plugging into because you don't go on to like Twitter and Facebook where a lot of stuff breaks. But you
I do a lot of intensive reading on the internet, and I'm fairly attuned to what's going on, and it's a ghastly situation to realize how much money is infected our politics and our economics, and it's just destroying our way of life, and it needs to be counterbalanced with the forces for good. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Let me jump in here while the speakers are kind of quiet. One of the things I want to bring up is the National NCSS, National Curriculum of Scientific Standards, is nationwide acceptance of the scientific standards to be taught in the high school curriculum. And in this latest revision is it's saying global warming is happening. Global warming is man-made cause. Now, the state of Wyoming, in their budget to fund their educational system, has the stipulation, a rider on that, saying that that section will not be taught in Wyoming. But now the school teachers with a science background in Wyoming are saying, let's hurry up, get this thing accepted and recognized. That way it will already be in the system before they get the education budget approved. Henceforth, the rider will be null and void. So the school teachers in the high school level are also on the front line of battling to get truth and facts, science facts out. I applaud them.
That's a great point.
That's Cheney country, of course.
Absolutely. It's right there in Dick Cheney's backyard. That's what the science teachers are doing. It's very similar to Dover, Pennsylvania, when they tried to teach the religious aspects as being a science alternative to natural selection, which that went to court and failed miserably. A conservative judge says, no, you're pushing religion. You can't do it. Those honorable Christian people were the ones found lying on the stand.
Oh, yeah. Well, just the tag Christian doesn't guarantee that you're telling the truth. There's a lot of misguided Christians and a lot of lying Christians. I hate to say it.
I found that to be the inverse to be more true than the actual.
Well, right. You should know better, gentlemen. Hide your checkbooks. But the thing that you're talking, Christian, but here's the thing. I do want to get this in because it's something that David is typing out, and he wants it to be put over the air, and he's quite right. There's one thing that he would like to mention that has the power to create great change. It's a book. It's called Capital in the 21st Century, and it's a new book by the French economist Thomas Piketty. That's Thomas Piketty, P-I-K-E-T-T-Y, and it's a bona fide phenomenon. Other books on economics have been bestsellers, but Mr. Piketty's contribution is serious discourse-changing scholarship. His research is unrefutable. And the science is in it. Capitalism creates wealth inequality is, I think, what he's saying is the basic of it. I saw that post, and I read some of it. I've been awfully busy in the last week. I haven't had a lot of time to do the reading that generally I like to get in. But I've seen a couple of posts about this book out there,
great. I'm going to look into it.
I've always said that pure capitalism in itself by its own nature quickly becomes predatory capitalism because that's the foundation it's built on.
This book is completely sold out on the New York Times bestseller list, but completely sold out everywhere. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list. It's probably the most important economic book since Marx. Okie dokie.
Great. I'm all for it. Hey, man, let's get a third, fifth, tenth, 40th printing, and let's get them flooding the market because people need to know this stuff, and we need a shakeup in the capitalist world because the capitalist world is destroying the planet.
You know, I wanted to ask you guys, because in the last couple of hours, something has happened. The Clippers, are you aware with what's going on? And bam, down went Sterling.
I did hear that this morning.
The Clippers are in revolt against this guy. They're wearing their jerseys inside out and black armbands. And apparently the NAACP was going to give this guy an award, and they've jerked back. And there's a lot of talk about the racism, the overt racism of this NBA owner and how he's been captured publicly, as a racist. What do you guys think? Do you think that the NBA should have the ability to force him from the presence of ownership in the NBA?
Jack, you feel this one? They're coming over the speaker right now.
Okay, I'm unaware of that development. Excuse my ignorance on that one, Gwen, but I don't know all the arguments for or against.
Well,
the
basically, he was caught on a recording making a statement to his girlfriend. I mean, this is a guy that's very geriatric. His girlfriend is an aging 20-something, and he told her, "Don't bring your black friends around. It's not good for the image."
And this guy's
and
in the NBA.
That man just, through his own words, exposed his true feelings about 90% of the team that's working for him.
Yeah, isn't that insane? It's typical, though, in certain circles. I'd say the NBA has a responsibility to the players that it has in its realm to, not only expose this guy, but, boot him.
Well, they said that in the NBA does not have the same infrastructure that, say, the Football League or baseball commissioner who has the right at this point saying, excuse me, but you're no longer conducive for a whole product line of this sport. And you need to basically force him to sell him, force him out, ban him out, and he'd have to sell it to somebody. Unfortunately, the NBA does not have these bylaws within their contract.
Yeah, I don't know about their constitution and that, but I would think they could certainly, fine him quite heavily or do something. You know, the organization.
The point is that I was making is that the Los Angeles Clippers players, they've made a stand together.
Good.
Apart from this team owner, his name is Donald Sterling. And what a lot of people are taking as an act of protest against this guy's racist remarks, the Clippers today went onto the court to warm up for their playoff game against Golden State Warriors with their red T-shirts worn inside out to obscure any team logo. And Chris Paul, who is a point guard, said that we're going to be one. Everything we do it together, stay together, and play ball.
Very good.
Which, you know, I think, and I'd like to give a shout-out to Trisha P. Nolan and say hi back. She's in the chat room. But there's been a lot of, you talk about people standing up to the corporations. The sports players they're terrifically paid. They make so much money. And if they're going to stand up to the owners this way, and
that's very extraordinary.
Dance harmony, it's a wonderful example to not just sports is not just to the sports enthusiasts, but to the national community at large.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Well, I'm sure the players have a morality clause in their contracts. What needs to, and this may be the thing that generates it and drives it, there needs to be a morality clause in the ownerships, your right to own.
Well put. Well put.
Well,
I couldn't agree more.
That's an excellent observation. I also wanted to. I found the clip that I earlier wanted to play, which I thought was pretty good. This is this week, this morning on this week of Elizabeth Warren. I have to set it up, though, and I'm doing my very best to get that done at the moment. So
that's great. She's a true voice for the people, economically, socially, any way you look at it. She's a real trailblazer, and I think the highest amount I can toward her. She's an awesome lady, and we need an entire Congress and business community filled with people just like her.
Well,
the constituents of her area should be very proud of her and make sure that she is reelected to keep pursuing that fact.
Oh, yes.
Well, she also has to play the corporate game here, too, guys, and people like myself take a look at her through a lens of scrutiny. But I do want to play this because I thought that it was important. And
she's no stooge of the corporations, though, Gwen.
No, she definitely
far
isn't.
From it.
And this is halfway in with George Stephanopoulos.
Agency
today.
Has just been in place for a couple of years. It has already forced the largest financial institutions to return more than $3 billion to customers whom they cheated. I think that's an agency that's up, that's strong, that's feisty, and that's going.
You've been pretty clear, and we showed it in Jeff Zeleny's piece, that you say you're not running for president in 2016. It seems like you just affirmed it again. You also signed a letter, several senators signed a letter earlier this year encouraging Hillary Clinton to run. So is she your candidate in 2016?
You know, all of the women, Democratic women, I should say, of the Senate urged Hillary Clinton to run, and I hope she does.
You hope she does, and if she does, she is your candidate.
Hillary is terrific.
You know, you said she's terrific many times. You say that again in this book, A Fighting Chance. But this book leaves out something of a pointed criticism from your earlier book, The Two Income Trap. There you praised First Lady Hillary Clinton for her opposition to this bankruptcy bill pushed by the big banks. But go on to talk about how she, as New York Senator, seemed she could not afford that principled position. Senator Clinton received $140,000 in campaign contributions from banking industry executives in a single year. Big banks were now part of Senator Clinton's constituency. She wanted their support, and they wanted hers, including a vote in favor of that awful bill. So do you think that, are you worried that somehow she will bow to big business? Those were your words in that book, if she becomes president.
Look, I've made it clear all the way through this book and really what I've been working on for the last 25 years that I'm worried a lot about power in the financial services industry. And I'm worried about the fact that basically starting in the 80s, you know, the cops were taken off the beat in financial services. These guys were allowed to just paint a bullseye on the backsides of American families. They loaded up on risk. They crashed the economy. They got bailed out. And what bothers me now is they still strut around Washington. They block regulations that they don't want. They roll over agencies whenever they can. And
did they roll
they
over Hillary Clinton?
Well, they break the law and still don't end up being held accountable for it and going to jail. One of the things that I focus on really hard throughout this book is that that is one of the prime examples of how the playing field is tilted and how we've got to push back against it. It's a central issue for me. It's something I'm going to keep talking about, and I'm going to keep talking about it with everyone.
Right, but I'm saying, do you think Hillary Clinton will push back on that?
Well, I'm going to keep talking about this issue, and I'm going to keep pushing on this issue.
Winning over Democrats, though, is only half the battle. How do you build a coalition with Republicans? Are there, for example, Republican senators right now you can work with on these issues?
Not only that I can work with, that I am working with. My partner on a new Glass-Steagall bill, something to separate so that banking is boring and risk-taking takes place on Wall Street, not with your savings account and your checking account. A new Glass-Steagall bill. I have one in place, a bill with John McCain, with Angus King, an independent from Maine, Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington.
And that's the primary gist of what I wanted to get in there was her pushback about the financial institutions and how it's the major focus of her political career. But she was sidestepping.
I wouldn't characterize it that way. Heard it a lot differently than that. And, you know, I think she was sidestepping, criticizing Hillary Clinton is what I think.
That's exactly what I meant. You didn't let me finish. She was sidestepping about Hillary. And I don't think that she personally really favors Hillary Clinton, but she knows where she needs to compromise to keep a position of power, perhaps. To stay in the game, as they say. I don't know. I'm asking what people...
Well, that could be, but, you know, there is political necessity that has to be recognized, and that may be a case of it right there. I can't say for sure. Another thing that I want to point out, this may be hard to believe, but if you think about it and you really do the research, you're going to find it's very true. Barack Obama has yet to really prosecute any of these major... bank shareholders that caused the big great recession. He and George Bush both combined to help these guys out and bail them out. But there were a lot more prosecutions of Wall Street criminals during the George Bush administration, and I never thought I'd ever say this, but it's true, than there have been during Barack Obama's administration. So that's worth considering. And I only in the light of this, we can't assume for a moment that Hillary Clinton's going to be a complete corporate shill and sellout. She may be the next one to prosecute. Let's hope that she's the next one to prosecute some of these guys because they need to be prosecuted. Let's face it.
You
we
mean
can't
the,
say
the
for
two,
sure that she won't.
I was going to say, are the two that you would have to choose from, I'm sure at least she will be somewhat more cognizant of the needs of the everyday working man more versus anything that the Republicans are going to be putting forward.
I agree.
You mean Elizabeth Warren, not Hillary Clinton, right?
No, I mean Hillary Clinton.
No, I was meaning Hillary Clinton in this.
I got to disagree with you guys. I think that Hillary has gone way into the dark end of the room. I mean, she just spent 4 years.
Well, Gwen, is there a Republican out there that would be better than her? If you had to have a choice between the two?
What I'm doing here is I'm bringing to light the responsibility that she should be taking for the PTT treaty that she spent four years out there, which basically enthralls every nation environmentally and natural resource wise to corporations and not to the people. That's Hillary Clinton. I'd rather eat dirt than see her in the White House. And I did vote for the best woman for the job that was on the ticket the last time. That was Dr. Jill Stein. From my point of view, that's just my point of view. I think Hillary Clinton's another corporate plutocrat myself. I think
she could be, but you would have thought George Bush would have been exactly the same, and in many ways he was. But he did, in fact, prosecute a number of those guys. And so I'm hoping against hope. I don't want to see a corporate Hillary Clinton take over the White House and do more Barack Obamaism. I don't want to see that. But if she's going to be there, I'd rather see her there with the slightest hope of doing some kind of prosecuting and forestalling this stuff than to see a Mitt Romney type that will run roughshod over everybody just to please the corporations. You know, either which way, you're going to lose. But it's a question of losing bad or just losing. And I would rather just lose than lose bad.
Jack, I'm kind of in your ballpark with that, too. At least I think we have a hope, because I think deep down Hillary does have a clear conscience of the responsibility to the everyday person, environmental issues, et cetera, versus anything that the Mitt Romney kind of or the Koch brothers machine is going to put in there.
Right. And keep in mind, while she was out barnstorming on behalf of PTT, Gwen, keep in mind she's doing that under Barack Obama's guidance. So.
Well, I don't know. I think she's got her own set of ovaries. I don't think she's really
but she was working for him, dear.
I agree. She was. But, you know, this lesser of two evils argument serves the plutocrats. It always has.
There has to be that ground root movement, okay? We don't have the funding of the Koch brothers, but people are going to have to take it by their own bootstraps and pull themselves up, get involved, help make decisions, help make influences on who's running and support it. Do the best you have with the least amount of dollars that you have to work with, and it can be done.
Right.
Well, the thing is, that's why we're on here. This is why we, and some Sunday in the near future, we're going to get Krell to come on and talk about that book.
That'd be great.
Beautiful idea.
The other thing is that basically, if we don't expose the absolute truth that the arguing for the lesser of two evils is just more string out and more platform for corporate and plutocratic rule of this country, then we're not really doing justice to people who are listening in to hear how they can make a change. Because
I agree, but what's the practical alternative, Gwen, to support a 1% candidate just for a matter of principle? I don't think that's very practical.
Well, okay, that's your wisdom on it. I think otherwise. I think that until we get enlightened and understand that, you know, the argument that goes forth and it's really a circular argument that's been going on for 30 years by people like yourself and myself and folks that
we've got to keep educating.
It just keeps these people in power. And until we do start saying, okay, well, for the integrity's sake, I am voting for the Green Party. I am voting for the candidate I know has the integrity to lead. I am going to make that choice.
Well, that's what happened in Florida in 2000, and it split the Democratic vote. Henceforth, Al Gore lost, W. Bush won, and destroyed the economy in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But But I got to say, being a Floridian and understanding that I think Gore actually did win down here.
But the Supreme Court ruled that he didn't and appointed him president. But in essence, right, that's the same scenario. If the Green Party had come back and went behind Al Gore and worked within the system versus being on the outside bleeding away votes, Bush would have never even gotten close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And point taken, gentlemen. I'm just saying that the system itself that you're arguing for and saying the lesser evil should run is a system that's broken. It's kaput. Capitalism failed. It's failed.
And I think a growing number of people are recognizing that, Gwen, and let's hope that it grows to the point where something can actually occur that will be beneficial for all rather than just for the corporations.
Yeah,
it's like steering a large ship. You're not going to turn it on a dime. It has to be done slowly with methodical, plotted out steps and everybody getting involved, pushing forward toward the betterment of all.
Yes, exactly. And don't mistake me. I'm not jumping on the Hillary Clinton bandwagon. There's a lot of flaws in her candidacy.
I didn't think you were, Jack. But this is a good argument to have because it gives people the opposition points of view that are both well-intended and integritous.
I agree. I agree. This is good discussion.
Yeah, very true.
I would say that, and now I lost it. Damn it.
Well, you were talking about Elizabeth Warren and how you think she was selling out in some way because
she wasn't lambasting
Hillary Clinton.
I don't think she was selling out. I think that what she was doing was being really smart and playing the political game that she feels that she has to in order to stay in popular accord politically, in order to make the changes that she feels.
And even looking beyond that, Gwen, should Hillary Clinton be elected president and take office, she doesn't want to have an enemy. If she doesn't want to be regarded as Hillary's enemy, she wants to be able to work with her in some capacity to get some of her agenda passed.
I agree with you.
I think it's true this is being very Freudian that Elizabeth Warren sees and knows the projection that should Hillary run against any Republican nominee, she's won. So she's already padding her nest and hedging her bets.
Yes, very shrewd. I applaud her for that.
And in the end, we're at the end of the hour, guys. I would really like for you, and thank you for the discussion. And we will bring Krell on just as soon as he feels he's educated himself fully to the context of this book and can bring some elucidation to
it. Yeah, I was going to say I agree, and this has been a fantastic program today. I think there was a lot of our listeners learned a lot, got exposed a lot, and made them much more well-rounded and educated voters.
Yes, thank you, Gwen, for that aspect, as always. And I won't be with you next week, but I'll be with you the following week. So at any rate, I want to urge everybody to keep pushing forward. That's all we can do. It's what we've got to do.
And, Gwen, it looks like it will just be you and me next week, and I look very much forward to the next discussion. Take care, everybody, and good night.
Yes, good night. And we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. And, Gwen, thank you for the opportunity today, as always. And for another wonderful show, we appreciate it so much.
Oh, you're welcome, gents. Safe flight to you, Wayne. Be safe out there, everybody.
Well, thank you very much. I was going to say, we'll be loading up here in about the next few minutes, and I'll be taking off in about, less than a half hour. So the timing is
perfect. Have a good, pleasant flight.
Well, thank you, Jack, and good day to you, buddy.
Yeah, same to you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you all for listening. This has been the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. We are sponsored by Roundtree 7. That's the number 7.com. You can find them online. You'll find a lot of really great information and posts over there. And the Journey with Roundtree 7 room over on Facebook. You can find a lot there, too. This has been the Sunday show. Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and Gwen Berry. Thank you for listening.